You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Stieg Larsson's Millennium Trilogy of novels may be the biggest international phenomenon to emerge from Sweden since ABBA, and they're even scarier. The books are a major literary success story, selling over 8 million copies worldwide. The first film made from the series, The Girl with the Gold with a Dragon Tattoo, is the highest-grossing Swedish film in history and the highest-grossing film in Europe last year. It won 3 Swedish Oscars, including Best Film and Best Actress for Noomi Rapace. Along with Miss Rapace, it stars Michael Nyqvist and Lena Endre, and it's directed by Niels Arden Oplev, who joins me now, along with Miss Rapace, to discuss The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which opens in our area today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Niels, hadn't there been plans to make a film version of the novel even before it became an international bestseller?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know that when the producers bought the rights for it, the book had not even come out in Sweden.
Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting there. But
they
then,
were very
and then Stieg Larsson died suddenly in 2004.
Yeah.
He was very young. What did he die of, do you know?
A heart attack, 50 years old.
He left behind these 3 unpublished novels, which have come to be known as Millennium Trilogy, and they become a global sensation. Did you read them? Did you read them when they first came out, Noomi?
Yes. I read them a couple of years before we did the film.
Uh-huh.
And I loved Lisbeth from the very first moment. And I also like the energy in the books, and you can really feel that Stieg Larsson was a digging reporter, and that he wanted to dig up a lot of dirty things from the Swedish society and show it to us, and I like that.
Well, he included a lot of the things from his own life in
yeah.
this novel, even though I would assume, at least I'd hope, that some of the things that occur in the novel and then in the film didn't happen in his life.
Yeah.
Niels, you're Danish. Isn't it unusual for someone who isn't Swedish to be asked to direct a Swedish film?
Yeah, I tried to persuade them to take a Swede and to go back and take a Swede. I asked them, why do you come to Denmark to get a director for this? And but I mean, I think that it was my combined experience of I had 2 films that was box office success in Denmark, and I've done some successful television. And I think that combination was what the investors and producers were looking for.
But you did turn it down at first. You said
yeah.
you didn't have the time and intention to do a thriller. What's wrong
yeah.
with thrillers?
Well, the thing is that my 4 previous films in Denmark has all been dramas, and I've done police crime for a long-running TV series and won 2 Emmys here in New York and stuff. So, but I just didn't see that as something I was going to do at the movies. And a lot of times, the thrillers of Scandinavian are lower budget, and it's a little bit of a less prestigious format than drama. So I had no intention of doing a Scandinavian thriller. I would have considered doing an English-speaking thriller if somebody had come with me, but not a Scandinavian one.
Although it's interesting that Swedish noir has become a literary genre now.
Yeah, but the films before this one has not crossed the border. So I was kind of reluctant, and so I did turn it down. And then I was also in the middle of another film, which was about Jehovah Witnesses. So I had my head into that. But when they came back and asked me, I got around to reading the book, and then I realized that this was really unusual material. So the book won me over. I didn't know about the book before they came and asked me.
Now, Noomi, Niels is Danish.
Mm-hmm.
You're described usually as Icelandic Swedish, but your father is a famous Spanish flamenco singer. How does that work out?
Yeah. Well, he came to Sweden. He escaped from Franco, and he met my mother, and they had like a short romantic love story. But they were not a couple when I was born. So I actually only met him a couple of times. He's dead now, actually. And my mother remarried with an Icelandic man. So we moved to Iceland when I was 5. So I speak Icelandic instead of Spanish, but my blood is Spanish, so I'm a total mix.
And is Icelandic all that different from Swedish?
Yes, it's very. Pretty far
because
away,
we assume, yeah. You know, I know, I remember speaking to Liv Ullman once about not saying a word in persona, and she said, well, that was a good idea because at that time I only spoke Norwegian and the film is in Swedish.
But I think that we're, you know, it's more and more co-productions between Denmark, Sweden and Norway. I'm going to do a film in Norway now, and I speak Swedish and the other actors speak Norwegian, so I think it's, you know, I did a film before Millennium in Denmark and I spoke Swedish and all the other actors speak Danish, so I think it's, you know, it's getting loose, more and more loose.
You mentioned that when you read the book, you immediately connected with the character of Lisbeth Salander, this antisocial, tattooed, pierced, extremely thin goth girl who has major attitude problems. What does that reveal about you? Or did you just see it as a part that you might want to do if it was made into a film?
No, I think that I felt some kind of connection with her. I think she's a survivor, and she always have, you know, took the things in her own hand and tried to create a life that she wants to live, actually. And I think that I always been on my own pretty much, and I you know, I moved from my parents when I was 15, and I always felt like some kind of outsider also. So I think that I felt some kind of, you know, a friendship, or I felt close to her. And then when I read in the paper that they were going to do a film out of the book, of course I wanted to do her, but I was, you know, I was really upset and mad and angry because I thought they would never, ever even considering me for the role.
Well, how did that happen then?
Well, I don't know. You have to ask Nils.
Are you the one who decided that she might be good for it?
Yes. I decided
on the cast. Were you aware of her from other work she had done?
Well, to give the producer credit, I would say that because I'm not from Sweden, so I came up to Stockholm to start the casting together with the caster, but for my decision to be made, who was going to play what. And the producer, Søren, and the caster had seen Nomi in a theater play at the Dramaten, right?
Yeah.
So they showed me a picture of her, and I saw a cut from her, from the film she's done in Denmark. And I could see she was a really strong actress, but I was worried she was too good-looking to be Lisbeth.
Well, I've read that that in Sweden, you or the character that you play, it becomes something of a fashion icon that people are now dressing it like her, mostly in black, clothes that are neither male nor female, neither soft nor hard. Yeah. So this has become more than just a successful film.
Yes. I think that people from, you know, all over the world can connect with Lisbeth, and I think that everybody who in what, you know, in any point in their life have been treated bad by the government or by police or school or social workers or, you know, the system can recognize themselves in Lisbeth. So I think that, you know, I think that Lisbeth is such a loved character because she can really hit people all over.
Now, the Millennium trilogy has led to three films in Sweden. Noomi, are you in all three?
Yeah.
And Michael Nyqvist, co-star in all three?
Yes, I was working with Lisbeth for 1.5 years or something. I prepared for 7 months before the shooting, so something like that, and then I was shooting for almost a year, so it was a long time.
My guests are Noomi Rapace, who stars in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which opens today in theaters around New York City. She also in the film are Michael Nyqvist and Lena Endre, and the director of the film is Nils Arden Apler, who is with us as well. The Swedish title of the novel and the title of the film in Scandinavia is quite different than the one we have here. It's less mysterious, and I'm not sure it would have done as well in America if it was Men Who Hate Women.
Yeah.
Why that title? Does that refer totally to Lisbeth's guardian, or do you think that there are a lot of men in this story who hate women?
The title was, cardinal point for Stieg Larsson. He wouldn't sign the contract with the publishing house if they wouldn't sign that was the title the first book would go go out.
Oh, they were, I didn't know that.
No, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
And they were nervous. Norstedts Publishing House in Stockholm was really nervous about this title, too.
Yeah.
But that was really, really, really important to him. And I think when you read the book, the first book, and you see the statistic quotes of the violence against women in Sweden and stuff, I mean, this is his main theme.
Mm.
And this theme goes through, you know, the whole book, the whole underbelly of the book, you could say. So that was really very important.
Yeah.
But I agree, the title, I mean, the title has done really well in Scandinavia. But I don't think it would have done well in UK and US because it's too B-filmy a title for the English-speaking audience.
And then the other two books all have the girl with in the title, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
The as readers of the book already know, this is not a story for the faint-hearted. What about, you knew me, did you have to be convinced that that the more upsetting scenes you were in were totally necessary to tell the story?
No. I felt, you know, from the beginning that it was really important that we kept those scenes and the whole, you know, side story with the Guardian, who actually doesn't really, it's not really necessary for the main plot. So it was like a side, like a little short film.
Yeah.
And I liked that. I think it was really, really important to show who Lisbeth is and what, also what, you know, what she have gone through and how she managed to survive.
Her guardian is a sociopath, a psychopath, whatever, and you've actually softened him. As horrible as he is in this film, he seems a little softer than he does in the novel.
Yeah, but I also think that's to the credit of Peter Andersen, who plays Bjurman. He plays
he's
him
a lovely
so
lovely guy. Yeah.
He's a fantastic actor, and he plays him so fragile. And I think that's really interesting. That in a way, he's like soft and fragile, and then he flips and becomes really dangerous. And
I think we talked pretty much before, and we, you know, I think we all tried to place our characters as close to ourselves as we could. So I know that he worked from the bottom of his heart, and he tried really to understand this, you know, this man, and how does he work, and you know, what have he gone through?
Yeah, and what kind of perverted sexual excitement is it that makes him do these things to Lisbeth? Because I mean, he's not a man that wants to do this. I mean, you're an actor; you have to be able to defend your character no matter what. So that's, I mean, he could have been played like a sadistic monster in a kind of like exterior way, but he plays him like so underplayed, downplayed, and that's what makes him more dangerous, I think.
You've said it would have been very difficult to have shot such graphic scenes within the Hollywood studio system. Is Sweden a bit looser on such matters?
Well, when you work in Scandinavia, you as a director has the final cut, unless you negotiate something else. But it's the general rule. For me, my conditions of even going in and shoot this was that all the artistic decisions was mine, casting, lens of the film, even, because I wouldn't touch it else. I mean, you have to, when you do something that's so popular, you have to take the responsibility. And the actors, when we're shooting, the actors has to be able to trust that the decisions I make, and when I say we have it, is because we really have it and not because we squeezed on time and all that. It's a question of trust.
And I think it's extremely important that you trust the director and the whole team around you when you're going into those more violent and extreme situations. So,
But it's also a question about that Larsson's, in the book, he has this political, there's a critique of society, even though it's entertainment. And I really wanted to keep that in the film. And that's kind of rooted in Lisbeth and Bjurman.
Yeah.
You have the confrontation between these two characters is so horrific. And that colors the rest of the story. So if you take that out, you would have a softer version. And I don't feel like that would not be true to the message of men who hate women.
Sony Pictures has optioned an English language screen right for the novel. And I know, Niels, you're living in the United States these days. The film is a big success worldwide. Your versions, have they talked to you about getting involved?
Not at all. They tried to insult me by calling my film for a made-for-TV Swedish film in the Hollywood Reporter, but I think we got
a made for they would allow all sorts of things on Swedish TV that we could never see in America.
No, but I mean, it's. I think it was an attempt. I don't know whether it was a mistake or an attempt. I felt it like an attempt to diminish my film. I mean, we shot a high quality cinematic experience for the audience, and I've done 10 screenings in U.S. at Palm Springs Film Festival, Portland Film Festival, Hampton. And the film gets amazing, what do you call it? They praise it all over America, where I come with. So
this had to have been very difficult to put into a film, even 2.5 hour film, because you have a 500-page book, and things had to be changed.
But that's also why I put down the demand from the very start that it was going to be 2.5 hour, because I knew that I would not be able to keep Lisbeth's story with the lawyer in there. But indirectly, it colors everything else. But as Nomi said, it's not directly part of the plot. I would not be able to keep that in there if you did a two-hour version.
And for me, you know, there was no script, actually, when I signed the contract. So I actually signed for the book. So it was extremely important for me that we let Lisbeth be as complicated and complex and odd that she is in the book. So
and that's exactly... If anything, you get more backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly what makes it a bigger film. Mm. Because it dares to do that.
Stieg Larsson came to prominence as a crusading anti-fascist journalist and even co-founded a magazine called that went
Expo.
After skinheads in Sweden.
Yeah.
And we Nazi sympathizers in Sweden's past appear in the story. Since Sweden, unlike Norway and Denmark, was able to avoid being occupied by Germany, did its homegrown fascists play any real role in the country's history?
Yes, absolutely.
I think so. I think Sweden has an unsolved past. I mean, they never took a confrontation with the link to... I mean, there's a reason why Sweden was neutral in World War II. I mean, there was strong links between the Nazi...
You know,
the
Swedes
Nazis
are very
Sweden.
Good of showing up a neutral, diplomatic, nice surface.
And then selling weapons at the same time.
Yes. And I think that Stieg wanted to change the picture of Sweden in a way also.
I mean, Sweden is a great society, but it's far more complex than the image that Sweden portrays to the outside
world.
So the trilogy also includes the girl who played with fire and the girl who kicked the hornet's nest. Mm. And they've all been completed and released in Sweden?
Yeah. Yes, but not. I'm only done the first one.
Uh-huh. So you appeared in the others with other directors?
Yes, one other. Daniel Alfredsson. But for me, you know, I was so deep into Lisbeth at that moment. So I actually, you know, me and Nils, we did the heaviest work, I think, because we were with the one who was supposed to find Lisbeth and find all the characters. So we just continue the work with other director in a way. And I was pretty, you know, I kept away from everybody. I was sitting in a corner drinking coffee. I didn't join so much with the crew and so on. So for me, it wasn't such a big difference.
Well, since this book was also a bestseller in the United States, in fact, as I understand it, Larsson is the second best-selling author last year behind Khaled Hosseini, who wrote The Kite Runner, worldwide.
Mm. Mm.
Are you, in meeting with Americans, are you finding meeting a lot of people who already know the book?
Yeah. I mean, the book is, in the last half year since the paperback came out, the paperback exploded here. I mean, I meet so many people that has read this, even like out in Jersey in local book clubs.
Living in New Jersey these
days. Yes, I admit it, I'm living in New Jersey. I guess it's good, it's a good safe place.
So my best friends live in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's what New Yorkers always say. But, you know, it's like, I think we live in Cranberry, New Jersey, and it's kind of little town America. It's like America was in the 70s, like kind of Bill Bryson America, you know. You can bicycle on the pavement to school and the ice cream parlor, the pizza
Seems
parlor.
Seems like Sweden, pretty much.
Yeah, it is. It's actually like a lot like Scandinavia, and you have a little colonial-style village on Main Street. It's great.
I suspect that people from Scandinavia know a lot more about everyday life in the United States than people in this country know about life back
we've,
home.
We've, you know, we always seen a lot of American TV series. I grew up with Beverly Hills and Baywatch and, you know, and Friends and all those. So I think that, and we never dub anything. So we, you know, we read subtitles and we listen to your language every day. So I think that absolutely, yeah.
But Scandinavians also go to America all the time.
I think it's like a favorite tourist destination. Yeah.
Well, I thank you so much for coming by and visiting us here. I've been talking with Noomi Rapace, who plays the girl with the dragon tattoo in the film that opens in our area today, and with the film's director, who you did you win an award, or was it the Swedish Oscars? Who won the Swedish Oscars here?
Well, Noomi won, justified for best actress, but the film won for best film, and it won the audience awards too. So in that sense, it actually won the jury award and the People's Award at the same time. That's highly unusual.
And I never did say your name, Nils Arden Oplev. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.